Welcome to Metaphysical Soul Speak, the podcast. I'm your host, Elena Fox. Hey guys, I hope you're doing really well in this moment in time, and that whenever and wherever you happen to be under this great, big, beautiful, glorious sky filled with its delights and wonders and all of the beautiful things that are there to spark your imagination and thrill your senses. I hope that you are able to pay attention to the glory and wonders of nature that God has provided for you. It's a form of free entertainment, and it's beautiful in its simplicity. It's always available to you. I hope that you enjoy just 5, 10, 20 minutes, even an hour every day, just sitting in awe and wonder of the world you find yourself in. I hope that you're able to do that. And I hope that you're able to feel your part in it and your place, you know, that you feel your connection to all of the nature around you. It's very important. And sometimes you might not feel that. Sometimes you feel disconnected. And I think it's in those moments when you need to maybe say a little prayer. You need to maybe take a shower or a nap. Sleeping is one of the best things you could do to rejuvenate and replenish your mind and body and your spirit. I don't know about you guys, but for me, sleep has always been something that I use and utilize for health, not just the normal nightly sleep, because we all do that, we're supposed to do that, but the afternoon nap cannot be underestimated as well. I have noticed the past several days I have had to take a nap in the afternoons, and I feel amazing when I wake up. Today I took a nap with my cat. I asked her permission because the dangerous alarm clock factor, I didn't want that to kick in, because she gets very angry if I go back to bed and she does attack me and bite me. She is the harshest coach I've ever had. It has resulted in injury. But today I said to her, hey, let's go take a nap. Do you want to cuddle and maybe hold paws? And she agreed to that, and she slept right next to me and put her paws in my hand. It was very sweet. But I noticed that when I feel anxious, when I feel annoyed, when I feel kind of irritated with the world around me or life in general, and sometimes when I'm not having a particular emotion, but rather I'm having a mental mental stress, maybe I have a little bit of a headache going on, even migraine headache. I've noticed that if I fall asleep and leave my body and then come back in to my body 20 minutes later, I feel a million times better. I feel like the headache, the stress, the energy goes away. I'm able in my spirit form to clean up the energy that was causing whatever discomfort was there in the first place. And I just find that sleep is one of those solutions we have that's extremely easy, it's simple to implement, and it can work wonders. It can set your whole body right, putting you into your circadian rhythms, and balancing out your hormones and de-stressing your muscles and your mind. And it gives you a better intake of oxygen, because we tend to breathe shallow during the day when we're at work, especially if we're stressed or if we're around other people. We don't always breathe deeply. I don't know why that is, but it seems to be the case. And when you're asleep, your body does what it naturally wants to do, and that's usually breathing very deeply, pulling in all that extra oxygen, and that puts everything right again. Sometimes if we have a problem and we need to get out of it, and we can't find the solution, if we fall asleep, sometimes the solution will come to us. We'll go visit somebody in the astral body and we will have a conversation and they'll tell us the solution. That's always fun when that happens. And other times it might be just that we are able to see it from a different perspective. We might go to heaven and visit, or we might just go somewhere else and go on like a mini vacation. You can fly around the world or to other planets in your astral body. And sometimes it's nice to just get a different perspective. You might have a dream that makes you laugh. I have a lot of dreams I wake up laughing from that just, like, I can't even put it into words what the dream was about. All I know is that I wake myself up with my own laughter sometimes, more often than not. I think because at the heart of it, even though I do occasionally suffer from depression, I also, and frustration, I also am generally a happy person. It's my natural state of being, is that happy-go-lucky nature, have a good time, hang out, appreciate all the things around me. You know, just, you know, like, you know, the other day when I went walking to the beach, yesterday actually, it was just such a beautiful energy, you know, just to see the ocean and the sights and be aware that I am a part of it all. The way that the ocean is rolling in and out, the way the sunshine was shining on me, because I am a part of this world, and the way that the soft, smooth tendrils of the wind coming off of the ocean wrapped around me like a gentle hug, nudging me forward and letting me know that I am loved. I am a part of it all. So, however your solution, whatever form your solution takes, you know, whatever form it takes, I hope that you're able to realize how much of a part of everything you are. And sleep for me does that. Water for some of you might be your secret weapon against the stress and the emotional chaos that can ensue from this world. And I just wanted to talk about that for a few minutes, because I feel like it's important. It's important to be connected to something and to feel that just that solution is amazing. Like standing in the wind at the top of a hill might be your solution. And that's, you know, I call it the air method. You know, it kind of, you can air out your thoughts. You can air out your stress just by being a part of the wind, feeling that, whipping your hair back and forth. And also, so water, you know, whether that could also be like going in the ocean, taking a bath, any kind of water, by the way, just, you know, washing your face with a washcloth that's wet with water, that also, or just drinking a glass of water, that can be another solution. But I've been taking naps lately. I've been drinking more water lately. I've been connecting with the spirits of all of the different elements as I imbibe them into my body. You know, I connect with the water spirits when I drink water. And I just give love everywhere, all the way around. You know, like every time I use water for anything, I say thank you to the spirits. And I haven't done it in a while, but for a while I was praying that every droplet of water that I use will be blessed with love and light, so that all the people in the future that use that same droplet of water, because it's going to exist forever in one form or another, I ask that every droplet of water I use is blessed for all the future people that will use it. I know it sounds weird, but it is true that you could be drinking a glass of water that you drank. You know, we're in a closed system here. You might be drinking a glass of water that you drank 500 years ago in a past life. That's kind of a weird thought, but the water, you know, it passes through us and goes into the ground. It gets filtered out and eventually makes its way back to the ocean, where it evaporates up and falls down as rain. And here it comes again. And it might still be the same water. You might have drank the same water twice in two different lifetimes. That's a trip when you think about it. You know, the water that Jesus turned into wine, you might have drank in your wine last night. I mean, I don't know about you, but I find that to be an incredibly cool thought, actually. I don't know. I just, you know, I've thought about it from the air perspective, breathing in the air that Genghis Khan breathed in and breathed out, and breathing in the air, because that's also part of the closed system of this planet. You know, I've thought about that. You know, you breathe in the air that the dinosaurs breathed in, and Albert Einstein breathed in, and even Genghis Khan, you know, even like the bad guys, you know, Jesus, the good guys, you know, all the masters of light, but all the masters of darkness as well. It's kind of funny, but it doesn't matter, because we all are one. And we're all playing all these roles in these idealistic lives that we believe, you know, we're living to the best of our ability at all the given times, as is everyone else. And it's funny that we're all so different. And we always think, well, I'm glad I'm not them. If you're them, you'd be living just like they are, but you're not. That's why you're unique. You're you. But I've just been thinking about all this different, you know, the different ways that I cope on a day-to-day basis. Sometimes I get overwhelmed. Today, I noticed something really strange as I lay down to take my nap. And it's that some sounds add energy that hang out in the matrix and stay as patterns. And some sounds clear those away. And I was made abundantly aware today that dogs barking are like noise pollution, and they hang in the air. Those barks, that sound hangs in the air. And crickets, for example, and songbirds clear that out. It's so strange. What I want to ask, what cat meows do when my cat meows? God, does that hang in the air too? Do they are clearing? So yeah, cats are clearing and dogs add. And why did dogs have to add? That's what I want to know. Why did dogs have to add to the pollution? Oh, because he says that dogs barks are out of fear. That's why. So dogs barking, it comes out of fear in the dog. They're afraid, you know, they're either barking because they're annoyed or they're complaining. You know, I wanted that sausage, mom. Ruff, ruff, ruff. I want to go outside. You know, that kind of noise. That's what makes it a pollution. And also because they're putting out the energy of fear. There's somebody there. I'm barking at him to get him away. I think he's going to hurt my yard. I think he's going to hurt my family. It's all just, it's absolute Neuroses? I never noticed how neurotic dogs are. Their form of communication usually is a one of polluting our environment on an energetic level, which is weird. I noticed it today because it was stressing me out because all the dogs are barking. And now I notice why. There's like this one dog, I think you could hear him. I have my door, my window all the way shut, and yet he's pretty loud. But cats, when they meow, it clears the air. It cuts through the energy, and it just like clips it out of the matrix. So what about, but songbirds do that too, and insects like crickets or frogs at night. But he's saying, but frogs, they do something different. They don't clip the stuff out of the air that is hanging there as pollution. Human shouting also is a pollution, by the way. It's like a really weird thing for me to be aware of today. This, during my afternoon nap, this is when I got this insight. You know, so it's the... I'm trying to see. God just showed me something. Show it to me again, please. God, I don't know. I'm not getting it now. But there was something just now. Insects. Oh, yeah, frogs. Yeah, that was the thing we're talking about. Frogs. Thank you. He's like sending me the energy of frogs. And all I could see were bubbles because that's how I experience frogs. I literally experience them as a bunch of bubbles floating in the air. That's how I experience frogs when I hear them. And God said, yeah, that's accurate, because they're like bubbles or packets of love. And that energy, as it hits you, as a sound wave hits you, it's like opening up and little bursts of pure white love. It's not a romantic love or, you know, passionate, charged love. That's why it comes to you in a form of white light love. And the white light love is a high vibrational, pure intelligence form of love. And I see it with a silver lining around the edge of the bubble, which is also for prosperity. And that's true. In China, frogs are a sign of prosperity as well. So yeah, I see that, you know, at least they picked up on that. That's really cool. So now what about, what's this other thing you started showing me? Oh, and the light from the sun is white mixed with golden light. And these differ depending on what we are, it differs depending on what we are needing at the time. Sometimes it's just pure white intelligence, love energy, and that golden energy is the spiritual love from, this is the kind of love that's radiating out from the Ascended Masters, for example. It's a very high vibrational, spiritual, crown chakra type of energy, but it's like pure gold, like the metal gold in its highest, most pure form. And that's why, like, even the metal itself is very high vibration, but it's kind of like that, but it's like the highest possible octave of light from the gold metal. And it's that kind of an energy, and that's what I'm seeing. So it's a high vibrational spiritual, it's almost like you're being crowned, when you're going outside and you feel that hot warmth on the top of your head. Sometimes in recent weeks, it has been specifically to open up people's crown chakras. So if you feel like you've been crowned and you're wearing a crown, and sometimes that energy on top of your head feels strange and heavy. Sometimes it feels like a grip or a hand. I always told my kids there's something weird going on with my head, and they'd say, should you see a doctor? I'm like, how is the doctor going to diagnose? I feel like Mickey Mouse is holding on to my head and pulling it up. I mean, that's like not, that's what it felt like to me. I don't know. It just felt like four fingers. You know, Mickey Mouse is handy. He only has four fingers. And they felt like bulbous fingers pulling me up. As I'm talking about this, I'm activating my own crown by talking about it. So I can feel it again. It's what exactly what it feels like. It feels odd. you know, as if I'm very, very small and Mickey Mouse is very, very big and he's reaching down and grabbing me with his four fingers and then lifting me up. That's what happens when my crown chakra activates. And it's weird because I didn't know that's what it was. I, you know, at the time I wasn't sure. So, you know, but now I know for a fact that's what it is. But I've noticed that my crown chakra is activated a lot lately, the past few days. And if you have been sleeping a lot and you notice that you're a little bit more psychic, and now that I say that, even my third eye is starting to pulsate, my crown chakra is pulsating. That's why, I mean, the naps have been helping me with all of it. When I went to lay down for a nap today, boy, my crown chakra just opened wide open. And I noticed people, there was like a, it was like a post about, it was very negative and rude towards people that do eat chicken or beef. And I made the mistake of actually commenting on it, and all these people, vegans, started attacking me. I feel like vegans are so, sometimes, not every vegan, most vegans are normal, but some vegans are so extreme and judgmental towards anyone. Like, people started telling me that I am contributing to all of the abusive farms in the U.S., you know, because I eat meat sometimes. And I'm like, I don't even live there. You know what I mean? Like, it's not how people treat their animals here in Ecuador. Things are way different. You could see the energy difference in the meat here and the high quality of it. It's you could tell that the animals are loved. I mean, even like the eggs that I get, you know, it's like the neighbors that, you know, I think they're maybe getting it from probably families that have their chickens running around the yard and the kids have to gather the eggs, you know, and makes it a game with the chickens and they have fun. You know, I've seen that here. Like, it's just really, really sweet. You know, it's not like they're caged in a factory farm and suffering. They're not. They're just, you know, chickens being chickens running around the yard. And you know, when you get eggs here in Ecuador, they still have the bird shit on them. You know, sometimes it's like, sometimes you got to wash them off, you know, before you could even crack them open. It's really very natural here. Things are very natural. It's very normal, like, as opposed to the nice, neat eggs that people are used to getting back in the States with a stamp on every one proving its freshness date or whatever. You don't get that here. Not so much. Well, that was a landlord telling me that my favorite pizza guy is open tonight. I didn't want to go down there in case he wasn't open, because I don't physically today feel good enough to just walk around for nothing. It sounds weird. It's only a couple blocks away. It's not that big of a deal. But I have to navigate around these dirt roads. Sometimes they're, you know, muddy. It's kind of weird. But it's a very natural world here. I had to pause it for a second to see. Oh, yay, he's here. I might have to get a big beer and my pizza. And the beer, like, what a 40-ounce beer in the United States is like, I don't know, what, $6 or $7 here? It's like $1.50 or $2. So I get a really big thing of beer, and then I pour it in a glass. I put the top back on it and save it for the next day. Beer's good for you sometimes, you know, in small amounts because of the alcohol kills germs, and also the electrolytes are extremely good for you. You know, there were many plagues went around the world a long time ago, and beer did save the world. You know, it's like one of those things that accidentally, you know, you discover, but it actually killed germs and saved a lot of people's lives. But you have to have it's a fine line. And Archangel Barakael has been asking me about things like, you know, weed and beer, by the way. So let's go into that for a minute. I think that beer is good for you. I know for a fact it is. It's got minerals and vitamins. And it's, for those of you who are vegan, before I forget, that's what it was. When I started to fall asleep, I felt all this negative energy from the vegans who didn't like what I was saying. And I felt like it was almost like they'd shot arrows into my stomach. No wonder I was feeling tired, right? So I had to clear that energetic, throw that throw their energy back at them. The extreme vegans are like, I think they need to eat a fucking hamburger. I feel like that would be the one thing that would make them calm the hell down. You know I feel calm when I eat a hamburger, so I don't know, man. I just feel like there's something missing in the brain because the diet is lacking sometimes. And I feel sorry for people. I mean, I wish you could get every single thing from plants, but you can't really, you know. And when I see plants or think about eating a salad, my stomach actually hurts. And if I do eat that salad anyway, my stomach literally hurts. You could have a sensitivity to vegetables, which I do. It's freaking weird. I mean, it would be easier to be a vegan because it's cheaper and be more fun, you know, to cook. But, it is what it is. I just accept my body the way it is. But I told vegans that plants have consciousness because they do. And that was, a lot of them just wanted to argue, and the same old tired arguments that I've heard for like the last 20, 30 years. I just don't really, you know, they're like, did your eyes get bloodshot and your mouth water when you see a cow in the field, and can you race super fast and jump on its back and start eating it? And if you can't, that means that you shouldn't be eating meat, you know? I'm like, well, does the same happen to you when you see a carrot? Does your eyes get bloodshot? You have to race back, you know, to the carrot immediately. I mean, come on. No one fucking does that for any food. I don't care if it's a fucking Triscuit or an ice cream cone. Nobody gets their eyes bloodshot in there. You know what I mean? Like, come on. It was just the stupidest argument. Nobody in the history of nowhere, not even if it's a plate of fine pasta, does that happen. So shut up, you know? I was just like, whatever, dude. And he thought I was giving up the argument. And I just was like, dude, no. I just said, whatever, dude, because I'm really just tired of the conversation. It's like, literally, I've heard all of your arguments for the past 30 years. I was a vegetarian for 9 years. And I was like a vegan / vegetarian, depending on the day. And ruined my body. I was told I was gonna die. And that was probably, I was on the road to gain cancer. Because for my body, that wasn't the right diet. It wasn't the right choice. I could not get pregnant. I was consistently sick. When I was a vegetarian, I was hospitalized 6 times. For extreme asthma. You know, it's just ever since I started eating meat again, I have not been hospitalized, thank you God, for asthma at all. My asthma has gotten better when I eat meat. I need to have it because of my adrenal glands are shot, so I have to eat meat quite often, actually, and dairy. And when I eat dairy, it balances my blood sugar. I mean, my life is so much sweeter when I can just eat the way that my ancestors ate. It is what it is, you know. But anyway, so to answer Barack Ayel's question for everybody, the whole the beer thing, if you drink beer to the point of not being able to remember your own name, that's not what we're talking about. Don't do that. Getting drunk, that hurts your brain, that hurts your body, but in small amounts, like a glass of beer, you know, you could get a little tipsy, that's still okay. But when you get to that point, that I think is the signal that you're done. At least when you want to look at this and utilize beer for the health benefits only, it seems to me like that is possibly the best way to go about it. You know, just glass of beer, that's fine. I get this big thing of beer, and I don't drink it at once. I just put a top back on it. You know, it does save. It still is every bit as fizzy the next day. And that is very pleasant. It actually helps my digestion. You know, and same thing with wine. Wine does the same thing. Beer and wine can be very healing. A shot of whiskey when you're sick, if it's like Scotch whiskey, you know, from like Scottish whiskey, that stuff is very, very good for you. It's got herbs and spices in it. Spices, not really spices, I suppose. It's not, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken, but herbs and spices. No, it's got the herbs in it that actually, though, they're like finely distilled herbs. And that's what gives that, like the peat moss and all the different flavors that they have in there. That actually, those are healing herbs. And they will brace up your immune system. Now, if you drink a whole bottle, that will lower your immunity and you might get sick, right? But if you just have like a one shot a day or, you know, a few times a week, it's not going to hurt you. I mean, unless you're an alcoholic, then just completely ignore me on this one. But if you smoke weed or you eat a little bit of weed every now and again or weed butter, it can lower your stress too by taking your arthritis pain down several notches. If you have arthritis or any kind of physical pain in your body, it can cure headaches. It takes out inflammation in the body as well as shrinks tumors and increases the ability to sleep. But I have told you guys the caveat about it. You don't smoke weed every single day, because what happens if you don't take a few days a week off is you will build up your negative dreams. I call them negative dreams. They're actually positive for you, but what you consider your nightmares in the last one third of your night as you're sleeping, these are your venting dreams. And if you smoke weed for whatever reason, I have noticed that it takes your ability to vent your junk out, and it kind of blocks that. So if you ever take an afternoon nap, all of a sudden you're having nightmares, like really horrible nightmares that you wake up screaming or crying from. It's usually because all of the venting dreams get backed up if you're smoking too much weed, like every single day. So if you smoke it for 3 days, maybe take 2 or 3 days off, and then you could do it again, like with any herb, actually. So there's that. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I mean, getting super, super high constantly, probably not a good idea. But if you wake up and you're tired and stiff and sore, you know, waking and baking or microdosing, it's not going to harm you if you want to, just kind of relax your muscles and kind of ease into your day. If you don't need to get to work and you've got some time, that does work. You know, it helps in a lot of ways. It helps you to become extremely creative as well. And, you know, I mean, if you're sitting around smoking and hitting the bong every few minutes throughout the entire day, that's not so good. But, you know, at night to sleep or in the afternoon to take the edge off or whatever, I don't think there's much wrong with it. You know, like this afternoon when I took my nap, I hit the bong a couple times and it allowed me to open up my energy field so that my crown chakra would open and I could do the energy work healing on myself. You know, getting all these darts and emotional shit that vegans sent to me, because I made the mistake, as I said, of saying anything on that post at all. And what's really weird is, what's really, really weird about it is, I mean, nothing's ever solved or accomplished through this argument, because who gives a fuck? Everything's an illusion anyway. And, you know, I don't want animals to suffer and I don't want cruelty to exist, but that's why I choose my meat sources from places that don't do that. And, you know, I mean, I could get everything sourced from local farmers, although most of my stuff I get from the store. But that just doesn't happen here. Those kinds of things don't happen. At least where I get my stuff, they don't, you know. It's just normal farms, you know, just, it's not as icky as the U.S., I guess. But, oh, God. I mean, sometimes the farmers come around and offer, hey, I just milked my cow and I had extra. You want it? Yeah, okay. It's not pasteurized, not anything. It's just in a plastic bag. I mean, I've had that situation a couple times. It's weird. It's like, yeah, definitely. Oh my God. Fresh cow's milk, that can't be beat. You know? It's, you know, very rarely is it something that would ever harm you, but, you know, that raw milk is, I think it's good for you, but it's, you know, caveat. Emptor, is that it? Buyer beware? You know, it can be. You gotta be careful with it, but anyway, All right, so those are just some of my observations for today and thoughts that I had for today. I feel like I might want to get on over to that pizza place before he closes, hopefully. I could do that and grab some beer. Let's go over the current solar wind speed is 427.4 kilometers per second. So it's gone up a little bit. It's interesting because I feel like we are being blasted with something again. And when I went to take my nap earlier was about the time that, guess what? Another magnificent halo CME from the sun happened again. Like what happened like 3 days ago. This billowed away from the far side of the sun again. And this is the third explosion in 3 days. So it's happening every single day. And a lot of you have noticed that you felt very weird. When this kind of an explosion on the sun happens, it's magnetic in nature and it is reaching us. This is a massive blast. If you could go to spaceweather.com, you would see it. I mean, it's powerful. It sent out shockwaves and energy and plasma. And all of it, if you accept it into your body as changing your DNA to help you spiritually grow, it's going to be pretty massive. It's pretty massive. So anyway, there's a brand new sunspot on the lower part of the sun that's starting to emerge. We'll see how it takes shape in the next few days. There's two sunspots facing us, 2848 and 2842, it looks like. And that might be 2843. It's kind of hard to see. It's right there on the edge of the sun. I'm not looking at the actual sun. That sounded weird. I'm looking at a data field map of the sun. Okay. So the percentages of space age average as far as the ULU neutron counts are concerned today, it's gone down by 1%. That's significant. But we're still at a high level of cosmic radiation coming our way. We're at 8.2% of the space age average right now. And according to the All-Sky Fireball Network and NASA's All-Sky cameras, it scans the skies above the United States for meteoritic fireballs every single day. And it's been a couple days since we've had this report. But today, guess what? The network did report indeed 16 fireballs, 16 fireballs over the United States. There are no significant coronal holes on the Earth's side of the sun for right now. So it doesn't look like, it looks like it's pretty active, but we're not going to have a solar wind flowing our way again for a while until one of those opens up. So right now it looks like we're just going to get this halo, magnetic halo energy, and it looks like that's coming our way. So I think it's pretty significant, and I feel like it's doing something. I feel the energy of it in me. I really do, and I'm really grateful for it. As far as the Schumann resonance news today, it was coming out of Italy, disclosurenews.it. it was only 8, not that big of a deal. 8, that's it. Now, 2 days ago, according to heartmath.org, we have some data points. And so from Wednesday, July 14th, which incidentally was my friend Amber's birthday, I've been a little bit upset this week and I couldn't quite put a finger on why. It was Amber's birthday, God rest her soul. She was my best friend for like over 30 years. And she even called herself grandma to my kids. And they called her Grandma Amber. And it's all pretty crazy. But yeah, no wonder. I've been just so sad. And so anyway, this is what it was like on her birthday. Wednesday, July 14th at the 2300 hour. All right, here we go. California was at 147 hertz frequency. Hofuf, Saudi Arabia was at 122 hertz frequency. And 22, by the way, is an angel number today. I looked at my phone today at 222, and later I had 55% of my of my charge. So that's another one, 55, by the way. Just throw out the angel numbers as we go down this list. Now, in Lithuania, they were at 376 hertz frequency. Keeping in mind, 7.83 is what's normal. So in Lithuania, 376. I don't know what's going on over there, but I think they're getting blasted with a bunch of cosmic energy. That's what I think is going on. And Alberta, Canada is the same with 300 hertz frequency. And Northland, New Zealand is still at zero. And last but not least, Honolulu, South Africa is at 128 hertz frequency. So there you have it. I'm going to take a quick break. And when I come back, we're going to do the Earth Changes Report and the weekly Weird World News right after this little itty bitty musical ditty. All right, guys, so this is the Earth Changes Report, and we will follow it up with the weekly Weird World News. So why do we do this every Friday? Number one is I want to watch the world evolve and transform, which is what they have as their catchphrase on the watchers.news website. We're watching and witnessing Armageddon, which means the end of one world and the beginning of a new world. We are also witnessing the apocalypse. And it sounds really scary until you realize that just means lifting of the veil. So we are learning more and more about our multidimensional selves as we learn, grow spiritually. And part of our spiritual growth involves coming to the conclusion that we must, beyond a shadow of a doubt, love every person on earth. Whether they're mean to us or they're horrible people or we don't like their politics or their policies or their actions, we still have to love them outside of that, in spite of that, in some cases. And in order for us to love people, we have to have compassion. And if we read the stories about what's happening to people around the world, it helps us to garner and gather up our compassion. And the more compassion that we have, the more we can love. So, like I've always said since the beginning of the show, since season one, is you have to love everybody. You don't have to like them. You don't have to have them over to your house for Christmas dinner. You don't have to interact with them at all, but you do have to love them from one human to another. And you do have to recognize that you and them and everybody, we are all connected. And because we're all connected, we must show our care and concern. And how do we do that? We pray. We send love and light and sunshine to the places where they need it. And we send gentle rain to the places where they need it. And let's find out now where they need it. Okay, the first article, I think I mentioned this last week, and now I'm not sure if I did or did not, so we're going to start with this. It had come out right when I was finishing up the Earth Changes Report last week, because I did it late, and I think I said I was saving one good one for last, and now I'm not sure if I said this to you guys or not. So we're going to just maybe repeat ourselves a little bit, or maybe not. Massive sunken continent could be resting underneath Iceland. An international team of geologists believes that they have identified a sunken continent, an entire continent hidden under Iceland and the surrounding ocean, which they call Icelandia. The scientists said the continent could stretch from Greenland all the way to Europe. Okay, the more I get into this, more I realize, yes, indeed, I did read this last week, so it's old news, sorry about that. I did want to mention, however, about this. We have the island of Mu, or continent of Mu, as well as Atlantis and Lemuria. All these continents were up, and then they were down beneath the surface of the water, the oceans. I just wanted to bring that up because it's very interesting. They discovered another one. And I have a feeling it's not Lemuria, it's not Mu, and it's not Atlantis. It's something else. It just makes it quite interesting. Our world is very interesting. All right, let's get into the actual Earth changes right now. Shandong has been hit by the largest tornado outbreak in more than a decade in China. This is the eastern part of China in the Shandong province. And this is the largest tornado outbreak in more than 10 years. At least 10 tornadoes were reported, with at least three of them being violent tornadoes. The reports are still coming in, and the number of reported tornadoes is expected to rise. And now we're going to page one. Can you believe that? We don't have a lot of news to report today, which is actually a really good thing. We've had days where there's 3 pages worth of news in a week, and that's a little scary. Okay, Dexter, Missouri was hit by an EF2 tornado. It left 150 homes damaged. And this is the first EF2 or stronger tornado in the month of July since 1971 across all 58 Paducah and National Weather Service forecast areas. So that's really kind of crazy. I just, before I started this part of the show, I had just seen a really crazy, I guess it's a TikTok video maybe. It was on Instagram of a lady who, she couldn't stop saying, oh my God, I would be the same way if this happened to me. Like a tornado came through really quickly through her neighborhood, and her husband was in a different room, and they were in the house. And then all of a sudden she's like, oh my God, a tornado just took my roof off my house. Like her whole roof was gone. And she's just like, oh my God. She called her husband and he said he was fine. And she said, I'm fine too. You know, and she was looking and she opened her front door and looked across the street, and there's all these normal houses and then like 3 or 4 houses directly across from hers that were also missing roofs. And her yard was a shambles, and it was just like, oh my God. And it's just a stunning kind of energy when a tornado just comes on through and wrecks your life for what might be for them maybe a couple weeks, you know, and a lot of late night shifts making up for it to pay for that roof, which is going to be, I mean, not the shingles only, the whole roof was gone. She was looking at clear blue sky at the top of her staircase. I mean, that's scary shit, man. And it's like there's more and more tornadoes now in more places than ever before. Places that I never knew that I didn't know that they had tornadoes, for example, in China. So I guess they always have, because they said 1971 they had one that was pretty big. But I guess I've just been ignorant to the fact that other countries have them too. I thought it was just a you know, U.S. thing. Because they're known for it in, you know, in Tornado Alley. Yes, darling, what's up? What's up, girl? Come here. Come on. I love you, too. What are you doing? You want to be part of the show? Really? Come here. Come say hi to the people. Okay, not right now? What's up? She was running as fast as she could earlier, and hopping on her pizza boxes and skidding across the floor. And she was climbing all the way to the top of the door and running super, super fast. And I thought for sure She's going to keep that up for a while, and I thought for sure you guys are going to have a little bit of a show in the background, you know, with her running back and forth and stealing the show like she does sometimes. But then she stopped and went to look out the window. Earlier, two of the boys that had come around to say hey to her before she had her operation, she, you know, had called them to her, and they were coming around again looking for her tonight when I came home from with my pizza box. And one of them was a little black cat. He's so cute. Looks just like her. I mean, like her identical twin. And the white cat with the red tail and the black cat that looks just like her were both kicked out of our yard today by the other cat that lives here. So I'm like, aw, her little boyfriend still want her. And that's why she wants to go outside. She's like trying to get out. You could hear, are you trying to call your friends? Don't call them right now, honey. There she goes. I knew she was going to do it again. Baby girl, you cannot go outside. I don't trust you because you'll leave the yard. I told you don't leave the yard and you did. You understand? And plus it's dark out and there's dogs out. Okay? All right. I had a plastic bag that had been, it had like oranges or something in it, and I blew it up. It made kind of like a makeshift balloon. I tied it for her, and that was so fun. I threw it up in the air, and she jumped 6 feet almost from the ground up and grabbed this between her paws. It was super fun for her for a while. Where's your balloon? Go play with your balloon, honey. Yeah, it's not out there though. Okay, anyway, here. So we're gonna have the cat in the background. I had a feeling she wasn't done yet. So that's crazy. EF2 tornado hit Dexter. It doesn't say that anyone died. Usually they report that immediately. I'm just reading the headlines and the first few sentences of each article. That's all that shows. If you want to read the whole articles, you are more than welcome to go to watchers.news, and it's just right there on the first page right now. So let's see. Highest weather warning issued for southwest Japan's Unan City. Heavy rain predicted for the mainland in Japan. So extremely heavy rains affecting parts of southwest Japan over the past couple days forced hundreds of thousands of people to evacuate. Severe weather continues in the region and is forecast to spread to mainland Japan, all the way to Tohoku. There we go. So I guess let's send love and sunshine to Japan. As far as Missouri, I don't know. The tornado's already gone. We could send them calm energy, warm hugs for the people who had their houses damaged, because that's emotionally, well, damaging, right? So flash floods after 2 months worth of rain hit England in just 2 hours. And you would think that Eastern England would, you know, wow, 2 months worth of rain, that's got to be what, 2, 3, 4 feet of rain? Damn. No, 1.9 inches. That's 2 months worth of rain is less than 2 inches. That's not a lot of rain, but it was enough rain. It was plenty of rain because it did cause flash floods, which disrupted traffic and damaged homes and businesses. This is Eastern England. So according to the WeatherQuest forecaster, Dan Hawley, parts of Norwich received 1.9 inches of rain, but Peterborough registered as much as 3.5 inches of rain. Wow, in 2 hours. That's in Peterborough, in the eastern part of England. That's pretty crazy. So, okay, on to the next. Let's send love and sunshine to England, especially eastern part of England. The United States, so far, in the first 6 months of 2021, has experienced $8 billion worth of disasters. That's crazy. This is according to a National Center for Environmental Disasters, you know, and NOAA, N-O-A-A. So that's really crazy. So from 1980 to 2020, so over the course of 40 years, they said that they were averaging about 7.1 events, and that's annually. So that's really crazy. So the annual average is 7.1 events per year for 40 years. And now the national average, or the annual average of disasters in the United States for the most recent 5 years is 16.2 events. That's more than double the environmental disasters in the past 5 years. That's really crazy. So the first 6 months of 2021, the United States experienced 4 severe storms that with damages in excess of $1 billion in the first 6 months. That's crazy. This includes tornadoes, hail, and high wind damage. The nation also had 2 flooding events with damages exceeding $1 billion, 1 winter storm with a deep freeze, and 1 heat wave influenced drought. The costliest event was the February 10th through 19th winter storm and the cold wave in Texas that incurred direct losses of $20 billion. Holy moly, that's a lot of freaking money. The next costliest disaster, that was only one disaster, $20 billion in the Texas freeze. The next costliest disaster was a severe weather outbreak in Texas in April and Oklahoma that caused $2.4 billion in damages. And the largest hailstone you can see on the featured image that fell again in Texas near Hondo verified it's the largest hailstone ever on record to fall in Texas. It had a diameter of 16.29 centimeters or 6.4 inches and weighed 1.26 pounds or 0.57 kilograms. According to NOAA, these events resulted in the deaths of 331 people, but the actual number might be higher because it's still unclear how many people actually died during the Texas deep freeze. In 2020, the country only had a record of 22 weather and climate disasters, which each cost about $1 billion in damages. Yes, so that was like for the whole year last year, that's about $22 billion in damage total. And already we've had one disaster alone this year was $24 billion in damages. Hello, my love. Do you want to hold me? You want to say hello to the people? Meow. Okay, that was for you guys. All right, come on. Come on. I'll hold you. I'm going to pause this for a second and hold the kitty. So what's really crazy about this is that the 2021 year-to-date inflation-adjusted losses from all 8 disasters that they already had in the U.S., were at a near record high for the first 6 months already and came in at $30 billion. 2011 for the whole year cost a little bit more than that. But the United States has experienced 298 weather and climate disasters since 1980, where overall damages and costs reached or exceeded $1 billion. That's like each. So the total cost of these 298 events exceeded $1.975 trillion. That's crazy. And so this is shaping up to be a record disaster year. I feel that we're probably going to surpass 2011 soon. I don't even live there, but it's still my country, my original country. So yeah, that's crazy. So let's go to the next story. Dense clouds of Saharan dust have been spreading over Europe and the Atlantic Ocean. Earth observing satellites are picking up two dense clouds of Saharan dust, one moving northeast over the Mediterranean Sea into Europe, and the other is going west over the Atlantic Ocean. The European cloud has already reached southern Spain, Corsica, and most of Italy. If you want to see the map, it's on watchers.news on page 1. If you want to see if your sudden dirt outside in your door and your doorstep, like, oh, what's that gritty stuff? It's the Saharan Desert saying hello to you. It sent you a present. It's hot and dry here. Wish you were here. But since you couldn't be, we sent you some sand. There you go. You're welcome. Severe flash flooding after exceptionally heavy rains has also hit Pennsylvania in the United States. By the way, I think I said we're going to send love and warm hugs and sunshine to England. Let's do the same for Pennsylvania. So slow moving thunderstorms dropped exceptionally heavy rains in just a couple of hours over parts of Pennsylvania and New Jersey on Monday, July 12th, excuse me, shutting down highways, prompting water rescues and forcing authorities to issue flash flood emergencies. Oh man, that's crazy. Let's send them lots of sunshine. Okay, so Alaska, the Semisopoknoi aviation color code has been raised to orange in Alaska. The Alaskan volcano. Let's try that again, Elena. The Alaska Volcano Observatory, or AVO, has raised the aviation color code for Semisopoknoi, I say that 5 times fast, I dare ya, volcano to orange, the volcano alert level to watch on July 12th. So the decision was made due to the onset of continuous volcanic tremors and detections of explosive gas that looks like it's coming out the top there. So if you want to see the rest of the article, go check it out on watchers.news. Extreme flooding has hit multiple provinces of China. Capital Beijing has been brought to a standstill. Prolonged heavy rainfall affecting parts of China over the past couple days caused extreme flooding in several provinces, including Sichuan, Hebei, Shaanxi, Henan, and Shandong. I can't say these things very well. Sorry about that. If you're from China, I apologize. I cannot pronounce Chinese words very well, although someday maybe I will. Severe thunderstorms also affected the capital, Beijing, and it brought the entire city to a halt. So extreme flooding. Let's send them love and light and sunshine over to those provinces in China. 67 large wildfires right now are burning across the United States. More than 14,000 firefighters and support personnel are battling 67 large wildfires raging across the United States. An undetermined number of homes have been lost. and thousands more are threatened, with 67 large fires that have so far burned more than 917,000 acres. That's crazy. Let's send love and light and lots of gentle rain to the Pacific Northwest in the United States. I'm going to go to the article just to see how many. I just want to see where these are at. So bear with me as I look this up here. Okay. Oh, gosh. This is crazy. I've got a lot of people I've got to write. Damn it. So out of these fires, 13 are burning in Idaho, and I've got people there. 13 in Arizona, I got at least one person there. 12 in Montana, I don't have any people in Montana, unfortunately. 8 in California, and I've got a lot of people there. 6 in Alaska, 6 in Oregon, 3 in Washington, 2 in Wyoming, and 1 each in New Mexico, where my family lives, Colorado, Utah, and Minnesota. In Colorado, my brother and uncle also and his family live there. So yeah, I got a lot of people I gotta write. New large fires are reported in Arizona, California, Idaho, Montana, and Oregon on the 13th. So let's send rain to all of these places. And let's send an extra aura of love and protection to the firefighters. They are heroes. All firefighters are heroes. There's a man that I dated who's a firefighter in Shasta. He's battling a pretty big fire over there right now. I haven't heard from him. I just know that, you know, where he lives and what he does. And I just happen to know that there's a big fire there. Also, my cousin's husband is a firefighter in Los Angeles. So, man, I'm always nervous when the fire season rolls around, and not just for them, but for everybody there. And anyway, so love and light, warm hugs, and lots of rain to all of those places I just mentioned. So, okay, a tropical wave has brought heavy rainfall to the Philippines. So it doesn't really say a whole lot more other than that. So let's send sunshine to the Philippines, moving right along. A major explosive eruption at Stromboli volcano has happened in Italy again. And this is volcanic material that's fallen back to Schiara del Fuoco and reached the Pizzo area. And from a seismic point of view, this is an explosive event. And I guess everyone was able to see it from wherever they were, because this is the Stromboli volcano. I think when they say Stromboli or Strom, I think it means that big chunks come flying out the top, which is why a Stromboli sandwich has meatballs in it. It's like, I think to represent the, you know, the chunks of debris that flies out of a volcano. It's weird. It's such a weird thing. I love the Stromboli sandwiches, though. They're so good. Anyway, yeah, I don't know what to do about that other than, you know, volcanoes got to be volcanoes, right? They're like hotheads. They've got to go off once in a while, I suppose. A powerful new paroxysm at Etna's southeast crater in Italy. So this is another one in Italy. And the aviation color code was raised to red there on the 14th of July, 3 days ago. Estimated volcanic cloud height rose to 29,500 feet above sea level. So that's pretty massive. Let's send love and light to all the people of Italy that they can breathe. Thank God we all have masks now. And people are used to wearing them, so they could go out and still breathe in this volcanic ash climate. Extreme rainfall has hit Western Germany and caused catastrophic flooding. At least 18 people have died in Germany. Oh my God. And many more still missing after exceptionally heavy rain caused massive flooding in Western Germany. Numerous rivers across the region are still above the flood stage or at exceptionally high levels. Wow, let's send love and light and lots of sunshine to Germany. So there's new activity and unrest reported for six volcanoes this week, and there's still ongoing activity for 15 volcanoes. Puts us at exactly 21 current volcanoes, which is more than okay. 20 to 21 is normal. Anything above that is significant. There's a rare red warning for heavy rain issued in New Zealand's west coast. An active front over the Tasman Sea will move slowly eastwards across New Zealand on Friday and Saturday, which is, well, today and tomorrow. And the front will bring heavy rain to the country's western areas. Northerly gales are expected to be in much of central and northern New Zealand. So let's send them love and light, calm energy and sunshine to the west coast of New Zealand. And here we go. This is the last article. Heavy monsoon downpours have been affecting Flagstaff, Arizona, causing severe flash flooding for the second day in a row, forcing authorities to issue numerous warnings and advisories. A flash flood warning was issued for Yavapai and Coconino counties and more. So let's send love and light and sunshine to Flagstaff, Arizona. And that's it. That's all she wrote. And I would say by she means I mean me, but not tonight. I didn't write these articles. I really appreciate the watchers. This is a great website. So anyway, now on to our weekly Weird World News. We've done all of our praying, and we've felt all of our compassion and love, and now it is time to have a few laughs. So let me pause this for a minute while I go and find the very best articles for us to make fun of right in a second. Well, I found a cheeky little newspaper on the internet called the Daily Star dailystar.co.uk, and they do have a weird news section. So here we go. What I do for the weekly Weird World News for you people who are new is I just read the headlines and make hopefully funny comments on them. So here we go. Here's an artist, a picture of an artist. It says, I use dead people's teeth, ashes, and hair to make jewelry. Yes, I'm morbid. These are very interesting pieces of jewelry. I don't think I would be wearing them. Not especially if they're random people's teeth or whatever. But I think somewhere I do actually have baby teeth from my son when they fell out while we were traveling. His very last baby teeth fell out. And for a while I was keeping them, and I might have one of his teeth somewhere. And maybe I can make a ring out of it. Of course, he's not dead. Thank you, God. No, no, no. Knock on wood. He will live forever, or at least a very long time. But yeah, dead people's teeth. I don't know. I don't know, guys. I mean, I like macabre stuff as much as the next goth guy, but I don't know. All right, moving right along. Ultra-rare hypernova star explosion was detected in the Milky Way for the first time. Ooh. Ooh, ooh. Hypernova. In the Milky Way. So that's our neck of the universe. This is beautiful. It's purple. It's lavender. It's like a lavender purple. This is really beautiful, actually. Now, I wonder if this isn't what we've been feeling. You know, a lot of us have been very sensitive to energy. We've been feeling very weird, crying at the drop of a hat. Lately, a lot of people have reported that. And it might be that that's what happened. A star exploded and it's reaching us. I don't know. This is a really weird one. A TikToker had dreams of a little girl that was hiding a necklace in her home. And she found the necklace the next day. I don't think that this was her necklace. There's a video on dailystar.co.uk if you want to check it out. I don't have time. We're going to move on. A police officer who died after a horror car crash says that he visited heaven and hell. Huh. Well, that's very interesting. He didn't go to hell unless he was feeling guilty for stuff he had done, so maybe it's just as well. Hopefully he'll turn over a new leaf. Heaven and hell are real, by the way, and if you're brand new to the show and you haven't checked this out, last year I interviewed my son because he had an experience in which he went to hell, and he went with the current acting Archangel of Death because he wanted to see what it was that people go through when they go to hell. My son is brave as hell. And he went there and he said, boy, it's not what you think. And it's very interesting. It's sad to see what people put themselves through. But he got to see it firsthand. He was like walking down this hallway and looking in all the rooms and seeing how people choose to be tortured, and they're torturing themselves with certain things that they did not forgive. So that's a lesson for you guys. Forgive everybody and forgive yourself before you die, because you don't want it to haunt you later. England's Euro heroes who adore their dogs almost as much as they love footy. Aw, it's so cute. It has these guys hugging their dogs. That's not weird news, though. Let's move on. Why is that on weird news? There's a cemetery. See, there's a lot of macabre stuff. I love the Halloween-y vibes of tonight's show. A cemetery where dozens of curious cats, meow. Okay, she's ignoring me, greet mourners and are volunteer caretakers. I tell you guys, you know, last week when I was really sick, my beautiful little cat took care of me. Cats are very good. When they want to pay attention to us, they're very good at caretaking. And it's cute. This picture shows all of these cats just kicking it on the gravestones, on top of the headstones and whatnot. That's pretty interesting. In fact, there's two cats in a row on headstones. That would be weird, right? To walk into a cemetery and it looks like a meeting of the cats. Very odd. Oh, wow. It gets even more exciting. Possessed woman covered in unexplained bruises after being attacked by a demon. I actually have experience with this too, unfortunately. I've been, my son and my friend and I were attacked by demons after we went into the San Francisco church. Here it's an Iglesia San Francisco here in Quito, and it was built in one night by the devil himself. I told him about it the other day, that I was just there again. I didn't go in, and he said, someday I hope to walk there with you. I was like, oh, it will be bringing him bad memories, because this guy said he would give his soul to the devil if the devil can complete building of a church in one night. And the devil had all of the demons come around, and they built that church in one night. But what they didn't know is the man had grabbed one of the cornerstones of the courtyard, and he put it in his pocket when the demons weren't looking. They had put it there, but then he took it off real fast. And he said it has to be done in one night, and it has to be finished by the time the sun rises. And the sun rose, and the devil says, here you go. Here's your church. Now come with me. We have a contract. And he said, sorry, it's not finished. Look, you're missing a cornerstone. And he tricked the devil. And he tricked the devil. And all of the demons from that point forward, at least what I can tell, is they sit on top of the church. And when you go inside the church, they'll trap you with hail and rain. So you have to stay inside that horrible, evil, macabre place. And then what do you expect? It's a church built by demons. It's got this evil, negative vibe. And then there's like dead bodies inside the church. Of course, it's Catholic. It's very macabre. You could be attacked by demons and you don't see them. It's really crazy. When I left, they pelted us with hail and also rocks, because I looked and there was like rocks coming out of the sky hitting me in the back, and I had bruises. I'm like, that's really crazy. They were pelting me because I went into their church. You know, I disrespected them by, you know, I guess I crossed their demon picket lines. It's really nuts. So anyway, so she is covered in unexplained bruises after being attacked by a demon. I'm covered in unexplained bruises right now on my right arm, but oh wait, they're explained. My cat attacked me. Bright lights swarm the ISS live feed as conspiracy theorists claim it is UFOs. Yeah, I'm looking at this. It's obvious UFOs. It looks like it is the Pleiadians, the plasma craft that change shape and they change color. And they're mostly white, but they change like colors. You know, they blink on and off. That's what it looks like. Ancient tentacled killing machine revealed as scientists uncover a petrifying and petrified 8-foot fossil. That's really creepy. I don't know if it's an octopus. I can't tell what it is from here. We're going to move right on. It's either an octopus or a squid. Either way, it's yuck. Scientists make a holy grail discovery that lets the human body charge devices as you sleep. Don't try this at home, folks, but what I just saw in Modern Family was the smart sister was telling the dumb sister to rub the phone on her head because that's going to reverse the problem with her battery and it will recharge your battery. And her sister, like 2 days later, said to her mom, I don't know what's wrong with my phone. I think I need a new one. I've been rubbing the battery from this one on my head for 2 days and nothing. And the mom's like, quit teasing your sister. And then the little brother goes around and he's holding a battery holding his cell phone in his mouth. And his mom's like, what are you doing? And he says, I'm charging it. Alex told me it's... And maybe Alex was right. Maybe she was onto something, because apparently there's a holy grail discovery that lets us charge our devices as we sleep. I will tell you, if you have Reiki, if you're a Reiki master, you can add a bar to your phone or your tablet. I have done it a couple times. I even did it for a stranger for his phone when he needed an extra bar. And I even opened up the phone line so he could call somebody really quick when they weren't getting a signal. And he was blown away. He's like, what kind of magic is that? I'm like, I don't know. I just got the magic in me, baby. But it was Reiki, the Reiki energy. But you have the power as well. You just put your intention into it. It's pretty crazy. Just try it. It's a fun thing to play around with. A mysterious black shape was seen over Las Vegas during a lightning storm, and it sparked a UFO frenzy. Well, I'm going to tell you guys something. They have noticed that in many different lightning storms, if you take pictures of the lightning, a lot of times UFOs are in the stream of lightning because they charge their ship, I think, up with the lightning. It's very weird, but I believe it. I believe this one for sure. Usually they're caught in the lightning stream. So it lights up the whole sky and you see the UFO for a split second. It's pretty crazy. And by the way, I just met an amazing woman here in Mangler Alto, where I live in Ecuador. And I just met her tonight for the first time. And she was originally from the United States, but she told me that very close to here is a UFO hotspot. So, you know where I'm going to be going soon. I'm going to start looking for them. And I'm going to be like, get down here, you know, because they're probably the Pleiadians, but we'll see. This is a fun headline. Tamed. Maybe he named him too. A fisherman tamed a monster croc, which became his best friend, And when he died, he had a human funeral. That's kind of sweet, actually. A monster croc became his best friend. See, if you don't have any fear, the fearful predator won't hurt you. It can't. It might not even be able to see you. It's very interesting that. A shape-shifting UFO has lit up the night sky, leaving a couple stunned. There are pictures, images here on dailystar.co.uk if you want to check it out. A woman who died claims she saw a body from above before flying into space and meeting God. So that's an interesting video, it looks like. Perfectly formed cigar-shaped UFO seen hurtling past the International Space Station at astonishing speed. I should not have said that, at astonishing speed, because I was unable to pronounce one of those words. So I'm going to check this one out. Ugliest woman on earth drew gasps of horror as a star of a freak show, but had the last laugh. So we're going to go to this article. This looks interesting. Mary Ann Bevan suffered from acromegaly. Oh yeah, if you actually take hormones, you'll end up with this. It's where a disorder where your body creates too much growth hormone, and your bones in your jaw keep growing. And there, a lot of bodybuilders were suffering from this in the 1980s and 90s. Probably still now, I don't know. But anyway, but she had a medical misfortune. She wasn't a bodybuilder, but it ended up providing her a very lucrative income back in the day. And it says, what was her last laugh though? I'm trying to figure it out. Let me pause this and check out what made this the last laugh. Okay, so it says, she found herself a widow with four kids, and she knew she'd have to do whatever it takes to support them. So she joined a freak show in 1874. I'm sorry, that's when she was born. She joined a freak show as the world's ugliest woman, and born in 1874. Pictures of Mary Ann taken as a young woman show a very pretty brunette with delicate features, which of course, you know, changed over time because of her disease. She was one of eight kids born into a poor family in Blaisdell, East London, but it didn't stop her from following her dreams to become a nurse. Very good for her. So not only was she intelligent and loving, she was willing to be called the world's ugliest woman for her kids. That's dedication, baby. That's love for sure. When she was 29 years old, she married Thomas Bevan, and they went on to have four children. But her appearance drastically changed, and the disorder caused the body to produce too much growth hormone, as we talked about, and her hands and feet became enlarged, and cruelly enough, it changed the shape of her face and became very large and masculine looking. It's a very incredibly painful condition with the bones and the tissues of the body increase at a rapid rate. Oh, look how beautiful she used to be. And then, oh man, if you see the before and after, this will make you cry, actually. It's weird. It is weird news, but it's strange. Anyway, today it is a condition you can control, but in the Victorian era, there was no way to stop the disorder from taking over and changing a person to the point of being beyond recognition, basically. So people were always saying unkind comments about her in the streets, which is rude as fuck, by the way. Those Victorian people were dicks, apparently. Anyway, she married her husband, and he died 11 years after they wed. She was facing destitution, and she had to earn a living somehow, had to keep a roof over her baby's heads. But because of her appearance, it made her unemployable. But she answered an ad one day, and it said, "Wanted, world's ugliest woman. Nothing repulsive, maimed, or disfigured. Good pay guaranteed. long engagement for a successful applicant, send a recent photograph. It was placed by Claude Bertram, who was a European agent for the American circus Barnum and Bailey. She had just returned despondent from Europe, or he had just returned despondent from Europe after his mission to find the newest seasonal freaks to join the lucrative and cruel sideshow circuit. So, see back in the day, no one, you know, people that were freaks could not find work. So in the circus, they were able to find more of their kind, and also, you know, they felt a little bit more normal, because, you know, they were abnormal, and they would also end up, you know, making really good money, like more so than if they had had a normal job. So in a way, their freakiness made them, you know, rich in a way. But then when they came along and got, you know, they realized we shouldn't make fun of people, so we shouldn't have freak shows anymore. All of the freaks no longer had a way to make money, and they also had no way to get normal jobs. So life got actually crueler for the freaks than people pointing and laughing at them, which was also cruel, but at least it paid really good money. So let's see. So the newspaper ad was a final attempt to find someone, to find the new talent, so that people could be mocked at, or mocked across the UK and more. So Marianne sent in a photograph and captured his attention. And so this devoted mom of four was forced to wear clothes that didn't flatter her, so that the paying crowds had even more reason to gawp at her. I mean, the fact that she would put herself through that, what a good mom, right? It's weird news, but yeah. And it says, later he said, you know, she wasn't repulsive at all. She had the kind of face one usually finds in a giant, a powerful masculine jaw, prominent cheekbones, nose, and forehead. But she was unblemished. She was healthy and strong. She told me she didn't like the idea of placing herself on exhibit. She was quite shy and did not want to be separated from her children. But she was earning £10 per week for a year, and traveling expenses and all the money from the sale of postcards of herself, so she could provide for the education of her children. So she finally agreed to that, of course. She toured Hampshire, and she was so successful, she was offered a job by P.T. Barnum, the circus maestro portrayed by Hugh Jackman in The Greatest Showman, of course, and made the voyage to the United States in 1920, and she joined the circus as a freak. So I think that is her last laugh, is that, you know, everyone pointed and laughed at her, and then she got the last laugh pulling all the money in and becoming famous. So over the course of the next 2 years, she earned £20,000, and in today's market, that would have been £500,000 in 2 years. So this was enough money to put her four children in boarding school, and she missed them terribly, but she wrote to them all the time, and their futures were now secure, and it helped her power through and just let the insults bounce off her baby and roll off her back like water off a duck's back. Good for her. Ultimately, she achieved what she set out to do. She earned a fortune and gave her children a better life. So the insults, they were worth the pain temporarily for 2 years. What would you do if you were in the situation where you couldn't make a living because of the way you looked? Would you put yourself in that situation? I think I would. Fuck it, I'd go join the freak show. And travel, you get to travel. I mean, it's kind of shitty, you know, the way that you're making money, but you get to travel and save for your future, make a lot more money. I mean, no women of that day made that much money. Like, that's like £250,000, British pounds, every year. You know, back then, most women had to sit around and wait to get married and hope to God their husband had enough money. You know what I mean? Like, if you've seen all these old movies or the movies about the olden days, it's so dumb. Anyway, here's another one, weird one. A lottery winner buys identical tickets for herself in the same draw and then splits the jackpot with herself. Is that another way of saying that she likes to play with herself? Oh my God, so bad. I know, sorry, I could not resist. World first mind reading device. Whoa, interesting. Lets a paralyzed man speak for the first time in 18 years. That is incredible. That's weird. And also, it's kind of disturbing the way it's hooked onto the top of his head, but we're going to let that slide because the guy can talk. Of course, we don't. I mean, hopefully it's accurate. Can you imagine? This guy hasn't talked in all that long, like 18 years. He hasn't said a word to anybody and they hook that up and he's like, what the hell are you wearing? Oh my God, that's so ugly on you or whatever. You know, like he just starts insulting people, like how they're dressed. That would be like, can you like remove the device from his head? I do not want to know what he has to say now. I'm just kidding. He's probably a sweetheart. Otherwise, God would not have punished him by making him not talk for 18 years. I just gotta stop. Okay, an alien burp might have been detected by Mars Curiosity rover on the red planet. Oh my God, a Martian burped and it... I hope to God this is true. We're gonna move past that. A cutting edge robot can read emotions. He keeps getting fired from jobs. Nobody wants to be told what they're feeling, right? That's kind of hilarious, actually. Let's see. This is the last one of the evening. Scottish grocery chain Margiota installed a Pepper robot in their flagship Edinburgh store, but it turned out to be not very helpful. Because it would always advise customers to look in the alcohol section whenever they asked where anything was. It sounds like it fits right into Scotland to me. I don't see the problem. Pepper also, I just saw 55-55 if you're counting. Pepper also got in trouble because he was hired to read helpful verses out of the Bible at funerals. And while he wasn't good at conducting funerals, he would just stop working entirely. And that became apparently a disaster. Oops. And Pepper was also hired to keep nursing home residents happy. They were delighted at first, you know, to have a new carer that's a robot. But basically, they were hoping that the robot would lead group sing-alongs. But he got sacked for taking too many unplanned breaks at work. So in other words, Pepper the robot, which is child-sized, ends up, he's no different than any other person. Or lazy person. Or, well, child, right? I mean, it's like a child. It's like, eh. This blows. I'm not going to do funerals anymore. Bye. That's crazy. That is absolutely crazy. I thought I saw another headline that I wanted to bring out. There was one little headline I thought was funny. Oh, yes. Here it is. Two, actually. And then these are the last two. China shows off fearsome new autonomous killer robot shark at a weapons expo. Oh my God. They made a shark to kill people. China. Oh my God. That's crazy. And here's another technology weird one. NASA should send sex robots to space. Because synthetics are our future of planet colonization. Oh, God. So many. I guess it would be okay. It's better than sending actual people there to space. What do you guys think about that? Sending sex robots to space. You know what? Actually, it might be okay if they can also carry a conversation, you know, for the astronauts that have to be aboard the Martian missions or wherever, which doesn't take like 5 years or something to get there and 5 years back. Yeah, why the hell not? Send them up there with sex robots. You know, they're going to have a lot of downtime, I think, so why not? It's very, very weird. I don't know. I don't know. Well, that's it, guys. I hope you've enjoyed another strange week of the show. I'll be back Monday with all original and unique programming, just like always. But until then, I'm signing off with peace and joy and the high vibes of the holy fifth dimension. Till next time, guys, peace. Metaphysical Soul Speak is run on sponsors and listener support. This means listeners like you. If you are so inclined to support my efforts and my little podcast, please visit me at anchor.fm/metaphysical and pledge an amount of your choosing today. Thank you.